It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll find out about a statewide civics competition for Wisconsin high schoolers. First, during this year's State of the Union address, President Trump said that his administration is committed to tackling the high cost of medical care in the United States.
The next major priority for me and for all of us should be to lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs and to protect patients with pre-existing conditions.
Throughout the address, he doubled down on his call for lower and clearer drug pricing and repeated his complaint that Americans pay the highest amount for drugs in the world. Our next guest is here to break down President Trump's stance on drug prices, why drug prices are as expensive as they are, and what sort of reforms could be put into place to alleviate the cost for patients. Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
First, why has President Trump singled out this issue in particular for attention and action?
Well, because this is an issue that kind of spans the parties of people who are upset. They don't like high health care prices in particular. They don't like high drug prices specifically. And it's something that he has really sort of championed since he was a candidate. In fact, the administration last year put out an entire blueprint of possible ways to reduce drug prices, although so far nobody's had very good luck at doing this.
Well, let's take a quick listen to what he specifically said in the State of the Union about those drug prices.
It's unacceptable that Americans pay vastly more than people in other countries for the exact same drugs, often made in the exact same place. This is wrong. This is unfair. And together, we will stop it. And we'll stop it fast.
So, Julie, President Trump frequently points to what he thinks are unfair drug prices and compares them to other countries quite a bit. First, on average, can you tell us how much more expensive are prescription medications in the United States?
Well, prescription medications are much more expensive in the United States. It varies, of course, by the country. But the bottom line is almost every other country has some kind of government way to regulate drug prices. And in the United States, we pretty much don't. There are some regulated drug prices. There are some prices that are regulated under Medicare. There's Medicaid. They're required to give discounts. But basically, we rely on the private market to try to negotiate drug prices, and no one really has enough bargaining power to do anything about them, as opposed to other countries where the governments actually do the regulating themselves.
It seems like I've actually heard that there are things put in place that prevent, even if states or regions wanted to get together and try to do that bulk buying that you were talking about, that other countries are able to, that there are actually things put in place to prevent that.
There are, part of it is the way the market is set up. There are multiple different buyers. We have the Medicare program, the Medicaid program, which is different in every state. We have the Veterans Administration, which has its own system for buying drugs, and then private insurance, which has yet its own system for buying drugs. So there are so many different ways that drugs are purchased. And then, of course, there's people who just go out and buy their own drugs, that there really is no single system, and people then end up impinging on other systems when they try to change things. Under Medicare, though, when Congress added prescription drugs to Medicare in 2003, there was a specific ban on Medicare negotiating drug prices, at least for those outpatient drugs. Now, Medicare pays for inpatient drugs, drugs that are delivered in hospitals and in doctors' office, most cancer chemotherapy, for example, and Medicare has a complicated way of paying for those drugs that most people think is inflationary, basically gives an incentive for drug companies to charge more and for the doctors to have the drug companies charge more because the doctors get to keep a portion. So there's all these different ways that we pay for drugs, and pretty much all of them are pushing prices higher.
So we're talking about prescription drugs, but that's a huge heading of medications. There are generics, there are name brand drugs, there are very commonly used drugs, there are drugs that are used in only a very small number of cases, but very serious cases, and the need is certainly there for those patients. What goes into the cost of getting a prescription drug to the market?
Well, the prescription drug makers will tell you that it costs more than $1 billion to bring a new drug from discovery to market. There are a lot of regulatory requirements by the Food and Drug Administration. They have to do a lot of clinical trials. It is labor and time intensive and very expensive. But in the United States, for the most part, the drug companies can charge pretty much whatever they want. In some cases, they say they charge more in the United States because they can't charge enough in many of those other countries to make back their investment. So in some sense, this president is correct when he says that consumers in the United States are helping subsidize the cost of drugs in other countries. There are things that should help push down the price of drugs. Generic competition. When there is a generic competitor, the price of the brand name drug tends to come down. But what we've seen over many years is a brand name drug companies finding ways to deter those generics from coming to market. In some cases, they literally pay the generic drug maker who gets the first drug approved to not market that drug for a period of time. The generic drug maker makes money. The brand name drug maker doesn't have the competition. In some cases, they prevent makers of generic drugs from getting samples of the medication so that they can copy them. So that makes it difficult for there to be more generics. There's just so many players in the drug market beyond the drug makers and the people who are buying them that it is very difficult to get a handle on all of it.
We're talking with Julie Rovner right now. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and she hosts the KHN's podcast, What the Health. And we're talking about the high cost of prescription drugs and calls from President Trump to address that issue. And Julie, this is not a new issue for President Trump. He called for cheaper medications even in last year's State of the Union address. Here's what he had to say in 2018.
Already as a result of my administration's efforts in 2018, drug prices experienced their single largest decline in 46 years.
So, Julie, saying that it's the biggest decrease in prices in 46 years, is that accurate, first of all?
Not really. There were some declines. In some cases, the administration sort of talked down drug makers, asked them to please not raise drug prices in 2018. And in some cases, drug makers didn't do that. And then when it became January of 2019, they all raised their prices. So there was a little bit of that. But we're still seeing individual drugs go up sometimes by significant amounts, as you point out. It depends on the drug. It depends on how many people take it. Depends whether or not there's generic competition or even other brand name competition, whether it's whether it's a drug that is a blockbuster drug that no other drug can do that job, or whether there are multiple brand name drugs that can that treat the same condition.
President Trump said in last year's address that there had been an influx of generic medications on the market. Typically, it would seem that generics would be a good thing for consumers, that there's a less expensive non-brand name drug available. But is the introduction of more generics always a plus for the public?
Usually, but as I mentioned, there is a generic, but then it ends up not being sold. There have been some stories recently about quality issues with some generics. In general, generics, they're not approved unless they are what's called bioequivalent, that they have to act the same way as the brand name drug. But there have been some cases where it's not clear that that all of the requirements have been met. It is much more difficult to make generic copies of what are called biologic drugs. These are the mostly very expensive drugs that are difficult to duplicate, because it's not just a single chemical. It's part of a process. And only since the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010 has there even been a pathway to make these. They're called biosimilars, that they are basically generic copies of biologic drugs. And we're just starting to see those that obviously, would have hope of bringing down the cost of some of the most expensive drugs. But it's still very early in that process.
We're talking with Julie Rovner. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. She's with us to talk about the high cost of prescription drugs and why President Trump called for a change to the pricing during this year's and last year's State of the Union addresses. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you been affected by high prescription drug prices? What would you like to see change about the system? Or do you think drug prices are reasonable and worth having more options? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we continue our conversation about President Trump's call for prescription medication prices to be lowered and for more transparent drug pricing from hospitals and healthcare systems. Our guest is Julie Rovner. She's the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how drug prices are set in the United States? What would you like to see change when it comes to prescription drug pricing? Have you been impacted by the cost of prescription drugs? We'd like to hear about your experiences. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Julie, one of the recent developments in healthcare and access to medication is the right to try legislation that has been introduced and passed. First, tell us what right to try means.
Well, what right to try means is that people with terminal diseases can seek permission to try experimental drugs that have not been approved yet. Now, the Food and Drug Administration has long had processes for requesting these drugs. There were complaints that it was too cumbersome, although the FDA points out that they almost always say yes, and that the biggest block on people sort of trying investigational drugs outside of clinical trials, these may be people who are too sick to even get into clinical trials, are that the drug companies won't give up the drugs, that they may not have enough. They may worry about somebody who's about to die taking their drug and then dying and having that look bad when they go to get the drug approved. So right to try, and there were these right to try laws in many states. They've been pushed by the Libertarian Goldwater Institute in Arizona. There was a federal version of it, and it did pass. But the president was touting it both in his rally last week and in his State of the Union address. It turns out that, as far as we can tell, only two patients have so far been able to avail themselves of this law. Again, the problem is not so much the FDA. The problem is simply the ability to get it from the drug company, and the right to try law doesn't require the drug company to give up the drug to people who ask for it. I mean, the drug companies legitimately may not have enough. Remember, these are drugs that have not been approved yet. They're still investigational. They may only have enough for their own clinical trials.
I want to go back to last year's State of the Union again, January of 2018. In that speech, President Trump called on lawmakers to take up the issue, and here's what he said.
I am asking Congress to pass legislation that finally takes on the problem of global freeloading and delivers fairness and price transparency for American patients. Finally. We should also require drug companies, insurance companies, and hospitals to disclose real prices to foster competition and bring costs way down.
Julie, that's an interesting point that the president made there, because in a way it reminds me of when you go shopping for a ticket on an airline. You can look it up and it's one price, and then a half hour later or 3 days later, it can be a lot more, a lot less. It's hard to tell what the real cost is. And we have a lot of people who are saying that drug costs are the same. You might get one price at a drugstore, another one if you buy through your insurance, another if you don't. What makes it so complicated?
Well, that's exactly correct, and that's a really good analogy to the price of an airline ticket, although drug prices will vary way more than the price even of an airline ticket, which can, as you know, can change by hundreds of dollars depending on when you look or how many seats are left. And it's not just drug prices. The president, in talking about transparency, was talking about other prices, too. And, in fact, there's already been a requirement that just went into effect for hospitals to disclose their prices. And what people are discovering is that the prices that the hospitals disclose, first of all, it's very hard to tell what those prices are for. It's complicated. It's not really how you would be billed. But also, they may have no bearing in what you get charged. And the same thing is true in drugs. There's also a suggestion that drug companies be required to post their prices in their TV ads, those long TV ads that have those long lists of side effects. They would have to have the price in there. But what price would it be? The list price of the drug? The price that the pharmacy benefit manager negotiates for a private insurance company, the price that you might pay if you go to a drugstore, the price that you might pay if you order it through the mail. There are so many different prices that this has been one of the big frustrations, I think, for Republicans and for those who want more market forces in healthcare, is that even market forces, it's really hard to figure out how much things cost and how much you're going to get charged.
On Facebook, our listener Mari said, "We found that one of my prescriptions was cheaper not using our insurance. Go figure. Luckily, our pharmacy told us about it. We would have never guessed." So that's getting back to that issue, Julie, that it's hard to know what the real price is.
That's right. And there have even been laws that forbade pharmacists from telling customers that it would be cheaper if they bought it without their insurance. That's sort of how Byzantine this has gotten. Many of those have now gone away, but there were some rules that made that illegal for the pharmacist. I also bought a prescription for many years that was cheaper without insurance, although ultimately the drugstore I was using raised the price, and now it's cheaper with insurance. So that's the other thing, is you have to check. If you discover that's the case, it may be for a while, and then that all may change. You know, drug prices change, literally multiple times a day, every day, every time you refill a maintenance prescription. It is extremely difficult because it is so complicated.
Let's go to the phones, and Saeed in Green Bay is up. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
While I agree that this unrestrained pricing is very detrimental, and drug prices are the fastest growing segment of healthcare services, I concern myself about the impact of price controls on the emergence of new drugs. Because if you look at all the countries that have enacted price controls, they have pretty much significantly impacted the emergence of new drugs in those countries.
And thanks for that call, Saeed. That is an issue, Julie, that came up in some of the articles I was reading, that if there is someone who wants to invest several million dollars in, say, development of new drugs, or in, say, a startup app, and the amount that they can make is limited on drugs, that they might not invest in that.
Well, that is not just an issue. That has been the issue for the 30 years I've been watching this issue, that drug companies say it is expensive. There are a lot of dry holes. There are a lot of drugs that never turn out. If you don't let us basically reap a reward for having the drugs that succeed, then we won't be able to afford to continue to look for them. That you will stifle innovation, as they say. And that is to a point true, and particularly now that almost every other country has price controls. We're practically the only one that doesn't. What's changed in the last couple of years, though, is that we've seen the rise of some of these hedge funds, where people come in and they buy an older drug and they decide they can get some more money out of it, and they raise the price to whatever the market will bear. And these are investors, but they're not companies that are looking for new. They're not using the return to look for new drugs. They're simply pocketing the return because they can. That's a different issue than drug companies that are actually going out and trying to make the next generation of drugs.
Let's go back to the phones, and Dory in Madison is up. Hi, Dory.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask about insulin, because that's a 100-year-old drug. There have been minor changes in delivery systems, but I don't think there have been changes in the drug itself very much. And I recently heard that it costs between $800 and $1,000 a pen for insulin. I don't know how many pens somebody with type 1 diabetes uses per month, but they may be using several $1,000s worth of insulin a month. And some people have started dying because they can't afford it.
And thanks for that call, Dory. And Julie, that is something that I've seen floating around on social media and elsewhere. What causes a sudden increase in the price of a drug that's been around forever?
Well, we have written about this a lot at Kaiser Health News. It is a big problem. Again, as caller mentioned, there have been some changes. There have been some advances in how insulin is made and how it's delivered, but not to the extent of the price increases, particularly that we've seen in very recent years. And it is a problem, and it's one of those things that, you know, there's a congressional subcommittee that is specifically looking into hikes in the cost of insulin. They're asking that there's only a couple of makers of insulin to explain why these prices have gone up so much. In some cases, people who have insulin pumps have systems that require them to only use a certain type of insulin, so they're basically, you know, unless they need to get an entirely new system, they basically have to pay. They have to buy that insulin. So there's not a lot of competition in the insulin market, or there's not as much competition as there could be in the insulin market. But you are also correct that we're seeing people who are unable to afford their insulin trying to ration it, which is very dangerous. And people do end up either getting very sick or in some cases dying because they haven't been able to afford the insulin that keeps them alive. So it's one of those issues that I think is pushing Congress to perhaps act on this when in years past they've kind of wrung their hands about this issue but not done anything.
Well, and in our last minute, Julie, that's exactly where I was hoping to get to. This seems like an issue that for the most part has bipartisan support, that people across the political spectrum are affected by in very personal ways. What is the next step to be able to address this issue somehow?
Well, just later this month, some of the CEOs of the top pharmaceutical companies are going to come testify before the Senate Finance Committee, which is in charge of Medicare and Medicaid on the Senate side. The new chairman of that committee, Charles Grassley of Iowa, has long been skeptical of the drug industry. That's much different from his predecessor. So it is possible now that the House has been taken over by Democrats. The president wants to do something about this. The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee wants to do something about drug prices. We could actually see action this year that we haven't seen in many, many years.
Julie, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
Julie Ravner is the Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of KHN's What the Health podcast. She joined us to talk about President Trump's call for lower prescription price drugs. Coming up after the news, can you name the branches of Wisconsin government? How about how many congressional districts we have? We'll find out how you might do in the Wisconsin Civics Games. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.